Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since we started at the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's program is called Exploring the Digital World, Technology Tips for Seniors. It will be presented by Joan Green, who is a passionate advocate for affordable technologies that improve people's lives. Her very extensive and impressive bio can be found on the SPIRIT website and all the emails that you receive for this program. It is my pleasure and honor to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Joan Green. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me, and I'm just thrilled to be here today. And, feel free to interact in chat if you have any questions for me, or if you want to offer suggestions of how other people might be able to use resources. I know you all can't, all the chat will go to the presenter and the host, but I'll try to monitor the chat and bring you into the conversation as much as I can. And before I get started with my formal presentation, I also wanted to mention that anyone who would like to see the words as I say them, to use captioning, just go ahead and click on the CC at the bottom of the screen where you see me, and you'll be able to see the words as I say them. It's been enabled for everybody. So just about 10 minutes ago, as I was waiting to, hop on Zoom and present, I thought it would be fun to go onto ChatGPT and try to come up with a little rhyme to welcome you all. And so I did this in about 5 to 10 minutes. I think of ChatGPT as a virtual assistant that isn't that great. And so you can't trust it, but it can help you brainstorm some great ideas. And before I start talking about my favorite top 10 tech tools for boomers and older adults, I just want to read this to you. I didn't include ChatGPT in the presentation because I'm still just getting to know it. But here's what ChatGPT and I came up with for a little poem. Here we go. In 45 minutes, I'll teach and impart ways to leverage tech with a joyful heart. Thrilled to be with the SPIRIT group, my friends. Let's explore solutions that bring new trends. Boomers and older adults gather round, discover the wonders waiting to be found. Boldly we'll explore symbols and their might, unlocking tech's benefits shining bright. From speech to text and text to speech we'll delve, empowering voices, stories we'll unshelve. Captions and views simplifying the screen, tech's magic transforms a remarkable scene. In clouds, treasures reside, documents evade. Together we embrace a system well made. Exercise our brains, never to tire. Curiosity fuels our eternal fire. Join me now in this fleeting span of time as I share sublime tips, tech's paradigm. Leveraging wonders, together we'll thrive. In 45 minutes, let's come alive. So while not perfect, I thought that was sort of fun. I think ChatGPT has a lot of potential, but you just can't trust everything that it says. So I am going to go ahead and share my screen. I hope you like that little rhyme. Okay. All right, so you should be able to see my presentation, and I am going to paste into the chat. If I saved it, yep. In the chat is a link where you can just put in your name and email address, and you can get a copy of all the slides, so you don't have to worry about taking a lot of notes. There are two versions of the slides. One will have one slide per page, and one will have six slides per page. There are about 60 slides, so I wouldn't print it all out, that one slide per page. It would use up way too much paper. And on that also is this digital, a one-page handout that has images of the 10 tech tips I'm going to be talking about. So I am a speech pathologist and assistive technology specialist and an online tech coach. So the area that I really work with to help boomers and older adults and actually people of all ages improve with the help of tech is the area of communication and cognition. So I'm going to be talking today about how we can use technology to improve speaking, understanding, reading, writing, exercising our brain, planning and organizing, remembering and socializing. And I'm hoping that you can all think of ideas about how this might be able to help you. And I see that some people are putting their email into the chat. I'm not sure if I'll have access to the chat after the meeting. So you really need to click on the link and or copy the link and paste it in your browser to get a copy of the handouts. So this is me, Joan Green, your tech coach, and this is my website, innovativespeech.com. And I'll be repeating this again at the end, but anybody who would like to chat with me for 15 minutes to figure out your next steps, I'm really happy to talk to you. You just click on this Let's Chat, in the it's a pop-up on my website, and pick a time and I call you. So this new generation of tech is amazing. It's a real game changer, and it keeps on changing faster and faster, which in some ways is frustrating, but in other ways it can be very exhilarating. So all I do is keep up with these tech changes and try to look out for ways that it can improve your life or the life of someone you're trying to help. So today we're going to focus on learning what's possible. You know, we only have 45 minutes and then I'm going to take some questions. And so I'm really focusing on 10 tips to help you start thinking about all of this. But the real magic happens when you match an individual's needs with the tech features and then you adapt it as needed. And that's what my business is. I help people pick their tools and adapt them as needed. And these are the tools I most often use. So I'm into the personal technologies that people are already using, the computers and tablets and smartphones. I'm also very interested in the world of Google because the apps are all free and available and work on all the different devices. I really love my Apple Watch and devices such as the Amazon Echo Show. And I'll be talking more about those. If I had to pick my favorite tech tools, these are what they are. And often when I'm working with people, either in person or now primarily I'm working online with people, I will, you know, they'll present me with a problem and I'll look at something that they're working on and I'll just figure it out. Or they have a new device, you know, a smart speaker or something like that. And I can figure out things really fast, even if I haven't seen them before. I wonder if you all have experienced that with someone that is more immersed in the world of tech than you. And really, it's not that we know everything. It's just that we know how to, we know the language of technology and we know the symbols that are used that are pretty much used with all technology. And so it makes it easier to figure things out. So my tech tip number one is to demystify the language of tech and to try to become familiar with the symbols. And so I'm going to show you a few symbols and I want you to look at them. And for those of you sharing your screen, I can see you. Others can type it into the chat if you want to. But I want you to look at some of these of the cues on the next screen and see if you know what they mean. So for example, here, if you see these three dots, sort of horizontal or vertical lines, that those are common symbols on a lot of the different operating systems and in a lot of different apps. And that's often your cue that you need to click on that because you're not seeing everything on the screen and there are more choices for you to look at. So sometimes if you're on a computer screen, you might not see that, but you might go onto an app on your phone and you don't see all the choices that were on your computer, but you need to know that you can click on that symbol to see more of the choices that you're used to seeing. So let's look at this. There are four images here. And for those of you that I can see, can you just hold up 4, 3, 2, or 1 to let me know how many of those symbols you know, or you can type into chat if you want to, a 1, 2, 3, or 4. I see Michael has 3. Great. And Hadas has 3. All right, so good. And Riva has 2. I love everyone showing their cameras because then I can make you feel that you're more part of this and I see you. Great. All right. So if I, on the next screen, these are what these symbols represent. So whenever you see a microphone, that might tell you that you can speak or that your microphone is on or off. And the next one, the symbol of speakers, this is what you will often go to if maybe you want to figure out why you're not hearing sound. Maybe things are muted or you want to make things louder or quieter. Here, this symbol is often, you click on that if you want to add text to a document. And here, these symbols are if you want to upload some things or download some things. So that's if you're seeing something and you want to do something like print it out or share it with somebody, often you'll go to these symbols. Okay, let's go to the next screen. How many of these symbols do you recognize? Let's see. I see Riva recognizes 1 and Hadas 3. I don't think anyone's writing it into chat, which is fine. Michael, 2. Okay, so let's see. So the first one, this one is usually the symbol of a printer. This one is usually when you want to copy something or duplicate it. This symbol is usually when how you turn something on or off with the power. They might be different sizes, different colors, or a little bit different. And this is brightness, if you want your screen to be brighter or darker. And here you can just take a moment to think about if you understand what these general symbols mean. And you'll find that as you're trying to figure things out, I'm hoping you'll think of these symbols and put this to work. Okay, 2, 3. Okay, so let's look. Whenever you see a gear like this, and this is something really important to know. Whenever I get a new device, I always first look for the gear and go in the settings because I want to look at all the accessibility features. So gear, this means that you have a way to customize it. This is the symbol for the Wi-Fi or the internet. Here, whenever you see a big A or a little A, that's often a clue that it's for changing the font size or different viewing options to declutter the screen. And often there's a question mark that is a place that you can go to for help. All right. Tech tip number 2. There are a lot more. I just put my favorite symbols down. Turning speech into text. What are some situations when you might want to speak and have those words show up as text on your device? I know that you all can't really talk. She's saying when she's driving. All right, you got to be a little bit careful, but you could dictate and have the words show up as text. So a lot of people might not be able to type on a small screen. You're sending a text message on your phone, or maybe somebody has really bad arthritis and it's hard to type, or people have, different types of aphasia after a stroke or they just would rather use their voice than type. So a lot of these things can be for older adults that have different disabilities or kids with disabilities or just anyone who wants the convenience. So we're going to talk next about turning speech into text. And so all mobile phones and tablets, all your iPhones, your Android phones, your iPads, all of those have a microphone in the keyboard already. You don't have to install anything. You might just need to give it permission to turn on. And so wherever you're trying to type, you touch it and you'll see the keyboard open up. The cursor needs to be where you want the text to be entered. And then you touch the microphone and you just start talking. And it might require a little bit of timing practice. Usually you have to wait a second or you hear a beep. And then you have to speak fairly clearly But it's not like dragon dictation of the past where you had to train it and have perfect speech. Often it's pretty forgiving. If you have a big accent, it might not understand you, but you can also set your device to speak in different languages. I mean, there are all kinds of possibilities. And then you tap the microphone again to stop dictating, and then you edit it as needed. So on computers, you also, on all current computers, on Chromebooks, on Macs, and on Windows, a lot of people don't realize that you have the ability to speak and see your words for free. It's already included as an accessibility feature. And so you can either go into your settings, or I put the shortcuts here. So if you're on a Windows computer, you can select the Windows logo and the H, and the microphone will pop up. Or on a Mac, it's hit the function key twice. So you just, you're not going to memorize all these things from this presentation, but you'll know it's possible. And then you can search for how can I use speech to text on my PC, and you'll find all kinds of information online about it. Another very popular, great way to dictate documents is in Google Docs. And I suspect that most of you are, if you're in the world of technology, you're most familiar with Microsoft Word, and I'll be showing that to you. But you should know that Google has something called Google Docs, and it's got just about all the same features of Microsoft Word, but it's free. It automatically saves like every second. And you can easily share and collaborate with others and store it in the cloud. So in the schools, most of the students these days use Google Docs as opposed to Microsoft Word. And in Google Docs, under that tools menu that you see right here, it's already there. You click on it, and then you go down, and here's voice typing, and a microphone will pop up, and you can dictate. So it's really great. If you're in Microsoft Word, MS Word 365 or Word for the web. So not necessarily the older Word that was downloaded the software into your computer, but there is a dictate button there that you can use. Okay. I see there's some questions. Let's see. Okay, so those aren't really related. So Daniel, I'll get back to those questions at the end because I want to try to stay organized. Okay, tech tip three is using captions. So here on Zoom, you can choose to click on the CC at the bottom of the screen where you see everybody's images and see the words as I say them. And I think that there are a lot of people who can benefit from captions. Certainly people of all ages that have hearing impairments. It's the automatic captioning isn't perfect, but often it's very good. It really depends on the speaker and the background noise. It's also really helpful for people with auditory processing problems, or if you're in an environment where you can't play the sound and you just want to read what people say. So there are all kinds of reasons for using captioning. But there are a lot of individuals that don't realize that captioning is available for free in so many places that you wouldn't think about. So certainly it's available in Zoom. It's available on most TV stations. You can enable captioning on your remote. A lot of YouTube videos have captioning, and there are a whole lot more places. One area that captioning is great is if you use the Chrome browser, you can go into the settings and you can, I think it's under accessibility. Oh, I have it here, Chrome settings, advanced settings, accessibility, and you just toggle it on as a choice and it will instantly caption all the audio and video. So anything that is playing through your Chrome browser. So even if somebody shares with you, if you're on Facebook and you're watching a video and you're in Chrome, a black box opens up and you see all of the words. So that's just free captioning that's included. Google Meet is very much like Zoom and it's free. And so a lot of people are using that and it has automatic captioning. So it's always up to the user if they want it or not. In Zoom, the host has to set it up so that it's available in meetings and on webinars. In Google Meet, it's automatically there. And so some people are really distracted by captions. Others are tremendously helped with captions. So it's all about choice. So tech tip number four is changing the view. So how many of you might go to websites and it's just filled with ads and pop-ups, and you know, it's hard to work your way through the screen and get to what you want to read, or the print might be too small. So there are ways on all the different devices to change the view and get rid of the ads and the pop-ups and enlarge the print and maybe change the background color. There are lots of ways that we can do this. And there are many ways that are already included, and you don't have to download anything. So if you are in Safari or Edge or Firefox, very popular browsers, often you'll see these horizontal lines in the address bar, and those websites have made Reader View available to you. And so if you're on one of those websites, you can just click the Reader View icon and automatically all the ads will be taken out and it'll just be easier for you to read. If you're in Chrome, it doesn't have, there's an experimental version, but really it doesn't have a Reader View built in. So there's something called Google Chrome extensions. And I've given, that's a whole other presentation, but they're free to use. And you just go to this Google Chrome web store and you download it. And so here's an image of a rocket ship. It's called Postlight Reader. And I can click on that and it acts just like a Reader View. It gets rid of all the ads. So here's an example in the Edge browser. Here I am on CNN. I went to CNN.com and you'll see in this red circle, I want to read this article. So I click on the article and then I see this, but there are all kinds of ads and pop-ups and it's sort of a mess. So then I go up and I click on in Edge, the Reader View looks like this. It's called Immersive Reader. I click on that and all of a sudden it's beautiful and I can even change the size of the font, I can have it read out loud, and I can change my, you know, I can change the background color. It's all included in the Edge browser. So that reader mode is fantastic. So here's, let me just play real quick. This is, I put the link below, it's just 1 minute.
Use Immersive Reader in Word to improve your reading skills. Select View, Immersive Reader. Choose one of the options. Column width changes line length to improve focus and comprehension. Page color can make text easier to scan with less eye strain. Line focus removes distractions so you can read line by line. Text spacing increases the spacing between words, characters, and lines. Syllables show breaks between syllables to improve word recognition and pronunciation. Read Aloud lets you hear your document as each word is highlighted.
The Amazon rainforest is an expansive forest located in the Amazon basin.
Use Immersive Reader in Word to improve.
Sorry about that. Okay, let's move on to text tip number five is listening to text read aloud. And you just saw a little preview of that in Immersive Reader. But there are many other ways that text can be read aloud. So why might you want to read text, have text read aloud? Maybe you have a headache and your eyes are bothering you and you'd rather listen to the text rather than read it. Or maybe the print is too small and you can't read it and you'd rather listen. Or maybe you have trouble focusing and paying attention to what you're reading and it's just not sinking in and you'd rather look at the words and see the words highlighted and listen as they're read out loud. So I work a lot with college students and high school students that might have dyslexia, a documented reading learning disability, or dysgraphia, a documented writing disability, or ADHD, or I mean, all kinds of different issues or visual challenges. And nowadays, these accessibility features are built right in. So for people of all ages that could benefit from listening to text read aloud. So all devices can read text aloud for free, all of them, your smartphones, your tablets, and your computers. You just have to set it up. So what you need to do is you go to your, if you have an iPhone and you go into the accessibility settings, and again, I'm sharing these slides so that you can do this on your own time. You go into the settings and you go to spoken content, and then you can set it up so you can speak selection. So you just hold your finger down on the text, and then you can select speak and hear it read out loud, and it can be highlighted, or you'll swipe with two fingers down, and then you can press play using assistive touch, and you can listen to text read aloud. So this just shows you, this is a picture of how you get to your accessibility settings and spoken content, and when you toggle things on, what it looks like. You know, in smaller workshop settings and in individual online tech coaching, I help people do this. I'm just flying through all these things, but I just want to show you what's possible. If you have an Android phone, with Android 11, version 11 and up, there's select to speak. So that's the accessibility feature that will read text aloud to you. And this is one of my, this is how you get to that Chrome Web Store that I talked about if you want things read aloud on the computer. And so if you're in a browser, in the Chrome browser on a computer. And so what you do is you go there, and there's all kinds of different extensions. And one of my favorite ones is the Read and Write by Text Help extension. It looks like this purple puzzle piece, and you can download it. You get the free premium version for about a month, but the feature of text to speech and translation are free forever. So the premium version will time out, but you can continue to use this free version in either Chrome or Edge. And it's absolutely amazing the quality with which it reads out loud. At the end of this, if I get through everything and people want to see it, I can demo these products. But that's probably my favorite way to have text read out loud. The voices are great and the highlighting is fantastic. If you're on a Mac, you can use the built-in features on your Mac to read aloud anything, even if you're not working in a browser. So you can just go to the Apple menu, that little Apple on top left, and System Preferences, and enable the text to speech. And then lastly, I think this is the last slide in this tech tip. I want to give a shout out to Libby, which is a free app that you can download onto any of your mobile devices, and you can connect it to your local library. And well, this is in the United States. So for those of you attending internationally, I'm not sure this would work outside of the United States, but maybe it does. You can let me know if you have resources that I can share in future presentations. But you connect it to your library account, and then you can, there are a whole host of digital books and audiobooks that you can download into your into the app and read them. And then you can customize how large the font is. And many of the books, you know, or you can listen to books read out loud. So it's fantastic. And I give webinars. For the last 6 years, I've been offering free webinars. It started out monthly. Now it's a little more often. I haven't offered them quite as much for a while because of all the Zoom fatigue. But I'm offering two of them this summer. And there is one that's all about reading options with technology. So if you go to theymaynotknow.com, anyone is welcome to sign up for those. And the whole point is, how do you know what you don't know? And a lot of people, after I have my tech coaching sessions with them, they'll say, why didn't anyone ever tell me this before? You know, it makes my life so much better and easier and engaging. And I say, well, it's hard to keep up. And a lot of people don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. So that's why I've named this website, theymaynotknow.com. And this is where you'll always find out about my upcoming free webinars. Excuse me. Tech tip number 6, embracing the cloud. So to any of you who are on this, in this meeting, have you ever gone, I guess anybody watching this, have you ever gone to a doctor's appointment and you wished you had brought a document that either you left it at home, it's paper, or maybe you have it in your computer, but you have no way to access it. You know, I think that happens a lot. I mean, with students, it happens when, you know, they forget to turn in their homework and it's at home and they can't get at it. But now for people who embrace the cloud, there's a fantastic way that we can have the important documents and you can even password protect them available when you might need them. You know, maybe you want to share some important documents with family members, or if you end up in the hospital, you need access to certain information, or you need an easy way to share upcoming doctor's appointments. I do this with my parents are 89 and 90, and they live in assisted living, and I've used all of these things with them. And we have all of our important documents in the cloud, and I take charge of a Google document and schedule all the doctor's appointments, and they each can look on their Google calendar or on their on a Google Doc that's located in their Google Drive and see what's coming up, and we collaborate and we're really organized. So I really think that embracing the cloud is fantastic. There is Microsoft OneDrive, so you can go with either Google Drive or the iCloud with Apple devices. I didn't even put that in here, or Microsoft 365. But I think it's really important to embrace the cloud. And there are ways to keep it as safe as you can. And when you're working in the cloud, there are a lot of benefits because it automatically saves. You know, I remember back in the day when I would work on a Microsoft Word document forever and then forget to save it and go back and it wasn't there. And it was so frustrating. I'm sure that those of you listening have had that experience too. Whereas now, if you work in a Google Doc or Microsoft Word that's online, they automatically save. And you can save different versions. And you can have different accounts and they can automatically sync, and it's easier to invite someone to collaborate and edit different documents or add to it. And it's a great way to stay organized and efficient. So I actually offer a course on Google Apps. It's available from my website. I think over the summer, I'm gonna offer a live version of this. It's sort of flipped where you watch videos and read some things, and then we get together online and problem solve. So if anyone's interested, you can check that out on my website. And I have a special discount code for this group. So if anyone's interested, I'd be happy to give you a discount to that course. So it right now it's a standalone course that doesn't have live interaction, but it does include an online tech coaching session with me. Over the summer, if you're somebody that likes to get together regularly with groups, I'm gonna be offering it then. But I think it's really important. I think Google is fantastic to be using the Google Calendar and Google Drive. There's something called Google Keep, and I'll be showing you some pictures. One second. Sorry, my dog wanted to come in the room. All right, then we have Google Drive. And Google Drive, this is where we store things in the cloud. And you can create folders and get yourself all organized. So you go to drive.google.com, you sign in with your Google account, and then you create folders. And within the folders, you put documents. There's also another free, and you can have the Google Drive app on your phone. And so same thing with Google Keep. It's a great, simple task manager. We keep grocery lists, chores to, you know, things you need to get done, and you can share it with people and you can give them different colors. And I've given 2-hour presentations on Google Keep, but it's free and it's fantastic. So I would encourage you to look into all, you know, and Google Calendar works really well with all this. The Apple Calendar, the one that comes on the iPhone, doesn't sync real well with Google. So I usually have people download the Google Calendar app on their iPhone. But you, if you're all within the Apple system, that's fine. Or within, Microsoft, that's fine too. There are choices. That's why I put embrace the cloud. Okay, so tech tip number 7 is connecting with video calls. And I put this in because so many people these days are isolated. And with COVID, that really highlighted how terrible isolation is for people. We all need to feel connected and engaged and have a sense of community. That's why the Spirit Group is so great, because it brings you all together. And it challenges you cognitively. And I think that there are a lot of older adults that are still very much isolated, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with COVID anymore. It's because it's hard to get out, and transportation barriers and mobility barriers. And just, you know, a lot of us live far away from those that we love and care about. And there are lots of video options. And I think that people, it's really important if you're caring for individuals who are older than you or more isolated than you, or even for yourself, to feel comfortable using different types of video call options, because they're all a little different and not everybody has access to all of them. So Skype used to be, I don't know anyone really that uses Skype too much anymore. It used to be very popular. And a lot of people who have iPhones are using FaceTime, which I think is great. And it used to be that people with Android phones could not participate in FaceTime calls, but now there is a way to do that with sending them a link and inviting them to the call. And Google Meet I had talked about before. One thing I want to talk about with FaceTime, these are my parents and my grandchildren, my 8-month-old twin granddaughters. So we often have group FaceTime calls. And so I was helping out with the grandkids. They're in the Boston area and my parents live in Maryland where I am. And this works, Zoom doesn't work so well for them because both of my parents have very significant hearing problems and they both wear hearing aids. And on Zoom, it's still to hear people and on their own phone. And then we connect their phone to their hearing aids. It makes a world of difference. And so now whenever I connect, I have 4 children of my own, they're 24 to 30, we can have group FaceTime calls and my parents can keep up with the conversation because the speaker gets highlighted and they can hear. So that's something I think a lot of people don't realize with FaceTime, that you can arrange group calling. And even my son has an Android phone, we can include him in there too. We just send him the link. But there are situations when there are older adults or younger people with developmental disabilities or different types of limitations, and they need different options for video calls. And there are special devices that have been developed over the last few years that can make a world of difference. So the GrandPad, I just listed them here, you know, feel free to look them up. My mother-in-law is 97 years old and she has some dementia. She's in a assisted living with memory support community. And every night my husband and my sister-in-law call her, and my husband always calls on the GrandPad and my sister-in-law prefers to use Amazon's Echo Show and does drop-in where we've set it up so that she can just sort of appear. A light comes on and appear every night at a certain time. And my mother-in-law expects her. And so she feels very engaged and close to family that she gets to see. It's fantastic. With the GrandPad, you don't need Wi-Fi. It has its own internet connection or its own Wi-Fi, but it is expensive. It's pretty expensive every month. The Amazon Echo Show, you don't pay a subscription. I love using it. I think it's great, but you need good internet access. And then Sociavi, ViewClix, and OnScreen. OnScreen uses a TV. Sociavi has a larger screen and some different features. And I'm actually going to be doing a webinar about all the video chat options and the pros and cons. And I have the developers coming on of some of these newer devices. And everyone is welcome to come. It's free. It's going to be on June 7th. So I'm really excited about that. And again, you just register at theymaynotknow.com. Okay, tech tip number 8, using smart assistants. I use Alexa and Siri. There's also Hey Google. And I think there are a lot of reasons why. Feel free to share them in the chat if any of you use any of these. I think they're really good for people that have cognitive problems. You can ask, you know, what the date is today. People who want to listen to music. I have a whole list here, actually. You can, you know, I know I'm talking a lot about my family, but my father had bad COVID and he was in the hospital for 3 weeks. He made it through and he's fine now. But the one thing he wanted more than anything else, you know, we couldn't visit him. He wanted his Echo Show because with that, he could call us. He could listen to the music he wanted. He could listen to the news. He could ask about the weather. He could play Jeopardy. You know, I mean, you can do so many things without getting out of bed. And so for people with mobility issues or cognitive issues, or just people who want a source of entertainment, I know one of my daughters has it set up so when she comes into her apartment, she turns on her bedroom lights. You know, she has her lights set up to it in different configurations. You can see who's at the front door if you set up, you know, a Ring unit. There's a lot that's a whole presentation is smart assistants. But just to start with, if you have an iPhone, you have Siri. If you enabled it and hold it down, you can ask questions. And these things aren't expensive. Like an Echo Dot is not very expensive. Amazon Alexa Echo Dot, that doesn't have the screen, but it will do a lot of things for you. You can ask questions and you can drop in with audio. And you can give announcements to people around the house, play games. Okay, I have 3 more minutes and then I'm taking questions. Tech tip number 9 is keep exercising your brain. So everybody here wants to continue learning, which is fantastic. That's the whole point behind Spirit is connection and learning. I guess hopefully you all agree with me. And I think that there are lots of ways that we can keep our brain sharp so that, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. And so what I do is I help people figure out how to do certain brain exercises. The history of me as a speech pathologist is it's key to match a person's abilities with the tools that you're providing them. So I would use something like constant therapy for someone who had a stroke or a head injury, and they need help with word retrieval or some cognitive deficits, or they have some memory challenges, and help them figure out how to use that. There's also something called Lumosity, which is really made, you know, just for everyday person to keep their brain sharp. And the cool thing about both of these programs is they adapt based on your responses. So they get harder or easier based on how you're doing that day. And you can compare yourself to what you were like before and try to make progress. And there are lots of places where you can get like gaming apps and exercise apps. The MindMateApp.com is great. There's just going to games, the AARP games site. There are lots of games there. If you belong to AARP, it's free. And there's a lot there. And then the last tech tip is to keep learning, have fun, and explore. And so I've included some of my favorite resources for helping people learn more about everyday mainstream tech. And these two groups are probably my top 2 picks. If you see on my website, I've got so many links on my website, but it gets overwhelming. So I just picked 2, Senior Planet and Get Set Up. And Senior Planet has a free tech hotline open to everybody. You don't have to belong or any, you just have to be over 60. And you can ask tech questions. They have really talented people answering the questions. And they also have all kinds of classes. It started where I am in Montgomery County, Maryland, I don't know how many years ago, and it's grown. I think it's in about 6 states now, but with COVID, it went online and it has so many classes online. A lot of them are tech related, but not all. They have cooking classes and exercise classes and, you know, any current events, anything you can imagine. And they're very stimulating and fantastic. I don't benefit from recommending any of these things. I should have said that at the beginning. I don't have any formal relationships with any app developer or organization or group. And Get Set Up is, both of these I think are affiliated with AARP, but Get Set Up is really great too, and has a lot of classes. And another way to learn is on YouTube. And so a lot of, you know, if any of these things sound interesting and you want to learn more about them, you can go on YouTube and try to search for it. And I follow probably 50 different YouTube presenters who are very skilled at what they do. And a lot of them are making a good living with this because the more views they get, the more money they make. And so I promote the ones that I like. And I really like this guy, Rich Bolan. He has a whole series on iPhone tips for seniors and iPad tips for seniors. That's all he talks about. And he's very... down to earth and easy to follow. And if you watch these videos, you can just pause them and do things on your own, you know, and try to practice. I have a free private Facebook group that everyone is welcome to join. It's called IST Tech Savvy Solutions. And we have, I think, about 1,200 people in that group now. It's not as active as I really want it to be, but I'm on it every day. And I'm always posting information that I think would be helpful. Some people are parents with young kids with autism, or students with learning disabilities, or seniors, or elder tech providers. I mean, they're professionals and families and self-advocates. And really, it's a place where people can ask questions and help each other out. Again, here are the two upcoming webinars that I have available. One, the Beyond FaceTime Uncovering Hidden Gems for Video Calls, coming up on June 7th. And you can learn also on July 19th, Unlocking the Power of Tech for Reading Success. And one huge mission of mine is I'm really trying to get, I've had 75 professionals go through an elder tech advisor and training group. And I'm trying to get that going more, because I think more, it was mostly speech pathologists, occupational therapists, tech specialists, people who are skilled at teaching adults, but it's open to everybody. Anyone who's interested in learning more about how to help adults with technology, I'm trying to form a group where I share a lot of information that I've learned and help people help other people. And so I'm trying, the problem is nobody wants to pay for that. I offered it free and I had 75 amazing people and they loved it. And then I charged something and nobody signed up. So I'm looking for grants, but I think there's potential here. I think there's a tremendous need for seniors to get more help. And again, the next best step, if you're interested, is just go to my website and click on Let's Chat and pick a time. I only schedule these up to 3 days in advance because automatically it populates with all my free time. And I call you and we chat. And if you're out of the country, we can do a Zoom audio or find another way to connect. So that's it. And now I'm happy to take questions.
That was amazing. I know I learned so much. There are two items I have. One is somebody would like to know about a future session on ChatGPT. That came in at the beginning. So that's something to think about. One question about Google Docs, okay? Is there a way to merge from Excel to the Google Word, whatever it is? Certainly you can do it. Yeah. Is there a way to merge? And I guess we should explain what merging is. A lot of times when people are doing address labels, things like that.
Yeah. I mean,
I've tried.
Google Sheets is the equivalent to Excel. And it can I'm not a Google Sheets expert, but it probably can do just about everything Excel can do. And it works with Google Docs. So you can open up a Microsoft Word as a Google Doc, and you can open up an Excel file as a Google Sheets. And I'm sure you can merge. That's such a basic function.
I haven't been able to find a way to do it. So I was just curious. So maybe it's just a thing I haven't seen yet. Or maybe, is there another word for merging other than merging?
I would just do a search for it. I mean, you have to search for how do you merge Google Docs to, I'm sure there's a way to do that.
Okay. I don't have any other questions, but I'm sure you do.
All right, well, let me look. I see. Okay, so I'm going to start from the top. There was a question, suggestion for ways to amplify a higher frequency sound to compensate for age-related hearing loss. I know that there's a way that you can use your iPhone as an assisted living device, and it acts to amplify everything, not just high frequencies. But there are a lot of really cool accessibility features for hearing in the iPhone. But I don't know, you know, and there's a lot of over-the-counter hearing aids these days, but I'm not really well-versed with those. Then there was a question, comments on Windows versus a Mac. I think Windows are generally a little bit less expensive. Macs are generally more, although I think that's that's become a little bit less of an issue. I think that people are used to using Windows and Microsoft, that world, because that's more the business world. But I think that it's all changed so much, it might not matter that that's what you used to know, because Microsoft Office 365 is so different. It keeps changing, so it's not so familiar anymore. I think that there are ways to get Microsoft products for free. I like my Mac. I think it's really hardy and a little bit less prone to intrusion by outside forces. I don't know. I mean, in terms of accessibility, they both have terrific options. Identify a trackball that does not require use of arthritic thumb. There are all kinds of trackballs that you can use your palm. There are all kinds of accessibility features. On my website, if you go to resources and you go to online, I forgot what it's called. I have a whole catalog of places that you can go to for special accessibility devices. Or Michael, feel free to, or Daniel. Feel free to set up a call if you have specific questions like that.
Wait, somebody just commented here about the amplification that said, they say the Samsung phone has settings to amplify certain frequencies. So thank you for including that.
Fantastic. Thanks. Yeah, I love learning from everybody. Let me just see what else. Is the native text-to-speech better these days than Nuance's Dragon? I think speech to text is much better than it used to be. And I think that the Microsoft speech engine is a little bit more forgiving than the one that Google uses, some people have told me. So I would definitely try it out. It's very different than Dragon used to be in the past. Is there a read aloud in FF? I don't know what FF is. Sorry, I don't know what that is. How much of your personal information does Google feel free to share with its partners? You know, that's the whole convenience versus privacy thing. And I think that you can opt out. I think it's gotten better. That's a whole huge discussion that I'm sure people, I just say, don't put anything online that you really don't want to be public knowledge. And if something is really private that you want to store in Google, you can password protect a PDF. I think that's pretty safe. And use, use two-step security. There are ways to tighten things up. I know that security is an issue.
We've actually done some programs on that in the past, so you can find that, I believe, in our archives. I know that there should be at least one.
Like with the Echo Show now, you can set it up so it doesn't save your information. A lot of times you can go into privacy settings and really tighten things up. Okay, there is a recording that will be available of this class. Okay, I think that was all the questions.
Yeah, that's, I think, all that I have. The various links we will include with the recording, the link to the slides, we'll definitely put that in, and just be patient. It'll be coming hopefully sometime today. So I want to thank Joan so much. Oh my goodness, we learned so much. We also learned what we didn't, sometimes what you don't know, you don't know. And even just those phrasings, I often like, what do they call whatever? And that's sometimes the trick of just learning what the language is, you know? So we thank you so much for giving us so much information. This was really, and information is power. So that will get everybody so much more involved in their technology. So the link that Joan just put on, if you don't get it now, actually that is going to show up. That will, anything to everyone does show up. So that's good. That will show up when you get the recording later. So we thank you so much. This was just amazing.
My pleasure. And I wish you all, try to have fun with it. Try to explore and try some new things. Maybe work on it together with a friend or something, or take the Senior Planet class, or
ask your kids and grandkids.
And I think that it really is a necessity now. I think that you can't just ignore tech because it's an absolute necessity for certain parts of life. And it can keep things engaging and fun. And if you're held back by hearing problems or vision problems or dexterity problems or communication problems, there are often accessibility features built in. You know, it no longer costs hundreds of dollars to get a touchscreen. It's built in, and it used to be hundreds of dollars to get good software to read aloud or use dictation with. It's built in now. You know, so that's why I really try to get people to get more out of the devices that you've already invested in.
Somebody just wrote into me how to get the slides. If you look and see what Joan just posted, those are the slides. So all you have to do is click on that and you'll be able to get that.
You click on that, it takes you to a site. It just asks you for your name and your email, because then, you can opt out, but I add everyone to my list. That's how I stay in touch. And then you'll get a reminder about a webinar and things. That's how I make my living, since I'm, speaking for free. you'll be able to click, you'll get an email, and then it'll say, do you want to download? You can choose, there'll be a little blue button that'll say, if you want to download this. There'll be another button that says one page per slide, and another one will say six pages per slide, or slides per page, sorry. And then you just download it. It's a PDF, and you download it, and then you can print it if you want to, or save it digitally.
Okay, well, thank you again. And I think everybody found this so helpful. Just going forward, I just want to share with everybody, the next couple of weeks will actually be pre-recorded sessions, which of course you will all get the ways to access them. And then we'll be going back, of course, live in a few weeks. But next week will be a very fascinating program with Dr. Naomi Baum, who has presented for us before. She will be speaking about, let me say it right, resilience, which is how Israelis can teach the world about resilience, which I think is so important, something we all need to know. So that will be next week. And then the following week, May 30th, is a full day, 12 hours of pre-recorded sessions for our Day of Giving. You can click on anything you want to watch. You'll be able to watch it as many times as you want. And we appreciate any help that anybody can give up, can give Spirit, so that we can grow, we can continue and to grow this program even more. There are many, many other things that we want to do with our Spirit demographic. On-site programs, weekend programs, all sorts of things, but we need your help to make that happen. So you'll be hearing from us a lot more. Any gift that you can give us, it doesn't matter what the size is, every gift is so appreciated. So you'll be hearing more from us. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Have a good week. I'll wish you a very early good Shabbos. Okay? And we'll be seeing you soon. Thank you so much, Joan, again.
My pleasure.